Good evening. Welcome to the Solera Report. Today is Thursday, August 17th, 2017. I'm Catherine Austin Fitz, and I'm delighted you could join me this evening. What a week. We started watching Carmen at Lake Constance at the Bregenz Festival. It was amazing. And then road tripped with two friends to Verona, where I attended three magnificent church concerts and the Beethoven in the Verona Arena. And you can read about it in a commentary I posted at Soleri called Beautiful Music. Then we had a bit of a problem with the photographer following me around taking pictures and some bank fraud. And I wrote that up also, commentaries at Soleri. And it's a perfect example of the many advantages of having a community bank that knows you and cares about you, because they caught the bank fraud right away, canceled the card, get the money back. It was amazing. Here I am in the middle of Europe, and they're a community bank in Pennsylvania, but email works and faxes work, and we got it all handled. It was great. I'm now in the Austrian Alps, and then I'll return tomorrow to Lake Constance, and then I'll be on Monday. I head to Basel to interview Thomas Meyer, and I'm very much looking forward to that, and then on to Zurich for business meetings, and then to the Netherlands. So it's been just an amazing trip and very inspiring. We're going to have boating and lunching with Catherine in Friesland in the Netherlands on Saturday, August 26th. It's open to the public. So if you're in Europe or you have friends in Europe, please let them know. We should be sending out an update to the entire update list today. And I would encourage you. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's a great group. Small group, but great group. Our theme tonight is connecting the dots between Charlottesville, the U.S. Constitution, and the missing money. And this is a theme I'm gonna take some time with. There's a lot I want to say to you about this. I think it's an opportunity to really see what's happening. We have a problem, and that is we have a governance system which is operating completely outside the Constitution and the law as we know it to be. They've engineered a financial coup. That means they have enough money to be independent. They can finance an independent governance system. They can finance an independent civilization. That's why Richard Dolan and his friends call it the breakaway civilization. I've started to address this in the second quarter wrap-up, Enforce the Constitution, or You Can Kiss Your Money Goodbye. It's a great document. The flipbook and the PDF are now available. I would encourage you to access that. We have a commentary up at Soleri.com, and of course it's up at the Resource Center. We're going to have more in the third quarter. I'm going to bring it down to the local level. It's called Local Power, How We Lost It, How We Get It Back. But Charlottesville is a real opportunity to discuss what's happening, and I'm going to call it the Charlottesville PSYOP. And the goal of this conversation is to shift your consciousness, and to shift your consciousness in a way that gives you a very deep insight. And my expectation is, if you can get that shift in consciousness and get that insight, from that insight will flow actions which are energizing for you. Now, that's going to be different for each one of you. Each one of you is unique. You have unique needs, circumstances, time management. But what I want you to do is to shift your consciousness in a way that increases your power. And what you do with that power is your choice. I leave that part to you. So let's talk about Charlottesville. I'm not going to go into detail on what happened. All I will tell you is that a lot of what happened was covert and engineered. We have a great interview with Richard Dolan on false flags. He's writing a book on false flags. He has a new series on Gaia TV. If you're willing to subscribe, I think it's worth it just to watch his series on false flag. It's very good. One of the key points he makes is that false flags are accelerating. Now, to try and unpack what really happened in Charlottesville would take an enormous investment of research and time, something I'm not willing to do. But I think it's pretty fair to call it a PSYOPS. And what's interesting is if you look at what happened as each day goes by, the claims about what happened are getting more and more aggressive as time goes by. But nevertheless, my expectation is that you had essentially a paid and orchestrated theater combined with mind control. Probably the driver killing the three people could easily have been mind controlled. And significant subsequent entrainment. Big question is why, what happened to the helicopter? Was it taken down to keep there from being eyes in the skies? No way to tell. What we've seen is a group of CEOs come out and make statements against the president's statements about Charlottesville, because clearly one of the things that's happening is an effort to corner Trump on this and basically cut him and his base from each other. If you look at the CEOs who are saying things, you just wonder where they get the hubris. So we have J.P. Morgan, Chase, the perpetrator of the Madoff crime, the largest portion of $15 trillion of illegal transactions, is the lead bank in the New York Fed group that is depository for the federal government, and of course a key player in the $24 trillion of bailouts and related mortgage fraud and the a pump and dump of the housing market. So for the CEO of J.P. Morgan Chase to attack Trump on his statements, the hubris is unbelievable. Then, of course, we have the CEO of Merck. If you look at what Merck is doing with vaccines, Merck is basically engineering an epidemic of autism. And then we have Aetna, who is the beneficiary of socialized medicine. And as I've always said, we need healthcare in this country. We don't need insurance. We don't need to turn healthcare into a financial product. So the question is, how could this situation have gotten so big to involve essentially many of the corporate luminaries of our time? And we're literally looking at a model fighting back, whether it's the unipolar model versus the multipolar model, or a whole corporate establishment that is working off of money coming from sovereign government debt that's run at a negative return on investment. So if you try and turn the negative return on investment, then the subsidy flows stop. Now, that includes the missing money. Why do I keep focusing on the missing money? One reason is the missing money unifies everybody. When you steal $15 trillion or whatever the number is from DOD or HUD, you're stealing from everybody. And the reality is the model has to change, or we are going to descend back into slavery. And I think it's important to understand that that's how bad things are. I explain that in more detail in the second quarter wrap-up. Okay, let me talk about the goals. What is the goal? If Charlottesville is a PSYOP, what are the goals of the PSYOP? First of all, divide and conquer. We've talked a lot about divide and conquer. We've had some Soleri reports, good ones on divide and conquer. But, you know, turning men against women and black versus whites and this versus that. A lot of the divide and conquer has got to do with either sex wars or race war. And that kind of divide and conquer, one, keeps people from unifying around getting the missing money back or enforcing the Constitution. But it also keeps the distraction, keeps America from focusing on real issues. And if you look at the polls and congressional feedback that congressmen are getting as they go back to their districts, what you're seeing is Americans want attention to real issues. They don't want, whether it's Russian scandals or many of the things going on in Washington. The polls are really clear. People want attention to health care. People want attention to infrastructure. People want attention to tax reform. They don't want the political games. And so the political games are pushing back with divide and conquer and distraction. The second thing you want is a destruction of history. When you pull down people's history, their statues, their culture, you rewrite history. I mean, there's no doubt, I believe the powers that be want to reinstitute slavery using digital technology and mind control. Now with digital technology, they have the ability to perfect collateral. And so it pays to destroy the history of the Civil War and what really happened. I would really encourage you to go back and read my review of The Half Has Never Been Told, a wonderful, wonderful history of the economics of the African slave trade. And I think, you know, it is too bad that most of the people in America don't understand the truth of what really happened in and around the Civil War, but that's a topic for another day. So, but there's no doubt you can really remove power from people when you wipe out their history. I think a third thing is to take Trump out and his base out. You know, there's no doubt that the media is very mad here. It's interesting if you look at what happened with China enforcing U.S. sanctions against North Korea. Trump was really on the cusp of being able to say he was making real progress on some of the things happening in Asia. Steve Bannon gave an interview this week and was correct in saying that what is happening between China and the U.S. is far more important than anything else going on or any of this. I agree with that. One of my questions looking at sort of what's happened with Charlottesville versus Trump is I'm beginning to wonder whether I was wrong about Bohemian Grove. I was assuming from what I saw coming out of the Grove that they had made a decision to stick with Trump. But given the number of CEOs that have dumped Trump in this process, I may have to rethink that. But here's the point I want to talk about. So the last thing I think this is about, and the important thing I think this is about, is this is really targeting white men as a group. And let me give you some background. I have spent a lot of time in my life doing a serious study of the beatdown and the genocide tactics used against the African American population. I grew up in a black neighborhood or mixed neighborhood, and off and on in my life have lived in African American neighborhoods and was raised by an African American woman. And I really have spent a lot of time trying to understand those tactics. And now I'm watching them be applied to other groups as well. And so a lot of sort of my insight on this comes from an invaluable background I got. And it's one of the reasons I'm so interested in the African-American mastery of spiritual warfare and believe it's so valuable to us as, you know, they've, to a certain extent, they've been the canary in the coal mines. Anyway, I really believe that right now there's a concerted effort to target white men. And here's why why I think it's so important. To get real change, you don't need to change 100% of the population. You just need 5 to 10% of the real leaders. And by real leaders, I don't mean who the media considers the real leaders. I mean the real leaders. So what do I mean by real change? Real change is enforcing the Constitution and getting the budget's balanced, but including the missing money, not excluding the missing money. So it's dealing with the Constitution, dealing with the coup d'etat and trying to reverse it, or certainly stop it from continuing. Now, I think the goal of targeting white men is to make sure if you're going to make these changes, you need 5 to 10% to see the game and to take action and to start to find each other. Now, the reality is if we take a look at the profile of that 5 to 10%, we're going to discover that 80% of that group who have the knowledge and experience and impulse to enforce the Constitution, do something about the corruption, do something about the missing money, they're going to be white men. That's just, you know, that's who's got the training, who's got the impulse, et cetera. It's going to be a very high percentage of white men. Now, if you look at the recent history, and so that's why I think they're being targeted. And to a certain extent, I want to point out it's a good sign because it means something's working. And so you're watching the guys you're trying to stop change double down. Okay, so let's look at the recent history of the carrot and sticks used to control educated white men. The first way you control those guys has been to hire them. I used to be amazed when I worked in government. There was so much make work in terms of defense contracts and other kinds of government contracts, and I finally came to believe that it was really to just soak up a huge amount of a certain kind of talent, line management talent and engineering talent. The other thing is you see that group networked with various benefits like the Freemasons or, you know, sort of different local networks that use things like sex, anything that creates a special sense of inclusion and keeps that group sort of occupied and and incentivized. That includes things like pumping and dumping the housing market. Whenever we have a pump and dump of the housing market, there's lots of construction and financing, and you get a lot of that group busy and occupied. So there, you know, for many decades, there have been many carrots that have kept that group sort of engaged, enthralled, and busy. But if you look at the sticks, which have been applied more in recent years, first we see women's lib, you know, so divide and conquer between men and women. Then we see sexual harassment. I was astonished when I ran Hamilton, the closer I got to some of the men who were the real leaders in the firm, the more I discovered how afraid they were of false allegations of sexual harassment. And certainly we've seen those used to target all sorts of people politically over the last 20 years. If you look at the people who were supported Trump, there was a real effort to constantly define them as being uneducated and stupid. If you were for Trump, you were uneducated and stupid. If you looked at the people I saw over years' time who were supporting Trump, they were highly educated, highly experienced, highly capable. But again, this sort of effort to define them as uneducated and stupid, I think, was to try and diminish their stature across the board. After the victory, you saw a lot of the white men, the leaders in the media, and the think tanks who would help get Trump elected very much targeted and taken out one by one. And I've gone over that in previous Salieri reports, so I won't repeat it here, but we've seen a lot of, you know, the life expectancy, if you had a significant hand in getting Trump elected, you've been pushed out in many respects. So now we get to Charlottesville. What are some of the key points I want to make about what has happened? I think the real target of the Charlottesville PSYOP is white men who are interested in returning power to small business, to community, family. They're typically patriotic. They take responsibility. They're lawful. Again, they're the critical core of the people who are going to affect real change. And that group is also a group which, in many cases, has protected Trump. If you look at the sort of political clout Trump gets from doing rallies, or if you look at the polls of who's continues to support him, it includes a lot of folks in that profile. Now, let me tell you one thing that's interesting about this group. They don't begin to understand their power either individually or together. So these folks don't understand the extent to which they've been marginalized. And the other thing they don't understand is one of the things that has held them back from rising further in the ladder of business and government is they're not sufficiently corruptible or psychopathic. You know, a lot of them underestimate how much they've accomplished because they really don't understand the extent to which their incorruptibility has held them back. A third thing is it's very important for the powers that be to make them feel ashamed. When you look at the profile of people like this, particularly those my age, there's a wonderful anthropologist who once gave a speech that really helped me when I was running Hamilton, who described older white men in America as having as their mythological hero the Lone Ranger, the Lone Ranger being a guy who rides into town and saves everybody. And so they really hunger to be the hero. They really hunger for admiration. And when they feel like they're a target of derision, particularly by women, they're a bad white nationalist. In other words, they suddenly wake up and find that the goal that they had, which they thought would make them a hero, is suddenly something that is something they're supposed to be ashamed about. In other words, they have no pathway to be the hero, and it really de-energizes them. So in theory, in their minds, if they protect the Constitution or get back the missing money, they're no longer the hero. They're just a hated white nationalist. And it's very interesting because I've been in Switzerland and Austria and Germany and had the chance to visit with some of the Germans about how the targeting and the use of Nazis and the Germans were bad because they had the Nazis, how it's being used to really sort of whip the Germans into submission. And what's really interesting is if you look at who's doing it, it's basically the same bankers and the same banker networks that financed Hitler. So the bankers who financed and gave Germany Hitler are blaming the German people for it and kind of using that to continue to control them. It's very, you know, it's much easier to see the game if you're an American in Germany than it is to see it played on ourselves. I've gotten a lot of emails from subscribers about Charlottesville. They don't understand why they're being attacked, and because they don't appreciate their own power, and also don't see a pathway to out with the spin. And I've even gotten reports of people feeling very depressed and even serious depression, not understanding why it's happening and what they can do about it. So let me talk a little bit about what we need to change. A society that allows our enemies to define, or people who allow our enemies to define who we are and who is or is not a hero, are destined to fail. What that means is if you and I take as our definition of hero or our definition of accomplishment is what is controlled by CNN or the New York Times, then there are no solutions because you cannot let your enemy define your relationship with yourself or those around you. In other words, we have to have an independent and clear and coherent vision of who we are, what we do, and why we do it, and whether or not we're accomplishing something. I'll give you an example. I'll never forget, it was sometime around in the early 2000s when I completely lost my temper. John Cornerstein, the former Goldman Sachs chairman and senator from New Jersey, wrote an article in The Nation about why everybody, why all the women and black folks in the South should vote for the Democrats. I completely lost my temper and said, basically wrote a blog post that said, now let me get this straight. My cousins here in Hickory Valley are protecting me. These white men are protecting me from the narcotics trafficking that is spread out of me to Arkansas, which the Clintons were helping to protect and you and your partners were laundering the money for. And they're protecting me from the implications of the pump and dump of the housing market, which your firm helped to engineer. And while they're protecting me from this, I should conclude that they're evil white pigs, and therefore I should vote for you to protect me from them. If you followed the money of all the different relationships, the hubris of Corzine and his colleagues in the Democratic Party was beyond imagination. I mean, it was just beyond imagination. So imagine the double bind this put my poor wonderful white male cousins in who are trying to, you know, basically provide for their households and protect their wives physically and their families physically, you know, in the face of this unbelievable, you know, whether it's the pump and dump of the housing market, the narcotic trafficking, the manipulation of the financial markets affecting their business. I mean, they're dealing with a Sisyphean struggle. Unbelievable. Anyway, but the other way I saw it was as I started to travel and give speeches in communities, what I discovered, and I'll never forget going to Sebastopol in the early 2000s and discovering that the community was full of wonderful people doing amazing things to promote the community and promote the Popsicle Index. And none of them were considered to be important or admirable because they hadn't been approved by the powers that be, and they hadn't been given awards at Harvard, and they weren't on CNN. And what you realize is, oh, you've got everybody here seeking the approval of the people trying to kill them. and denigrating the people trying to stop those people from killing them. How's that supposed to work? So we need to get really, really clear about whose opinion counts in our lives. And we need to understand that there is, you know, the fake news is fake news, and it's not trying to help you or me. And if you take your opinion from it, whether of yourself or your neighbor or anybody else, then there is no solution because you basically are working for the enemy. The second part of this is you got to see and deal with the real power lines. Tearing down statues and changing school names uses up a lot of time and money. It's very entertaining for some people. It weakens the local culture. They forget their history. They don't understand their history. But it doesn't touch the power lines. The power line is that 15 train is missing from DOD and HUD. That's $49,000 per person. It's $200,000 for a family of four. It will pay off mortgages or student loans. It will fund pension fund deficits. It will fund health care. That touches the real power line. And that's $49,000 per person, every person, all people, whether black or white, male or female. Finally, if you want to build immunity to divide and conquer distraction, it really pays to learn how to build up the opposite sex, to build up other races and in mutually energizing ways, and to learn your history. There's a reason that the neocons wanted to destroy the antiquities in the Middle East when they went in. It's the same reason they want to destroy the antiquities, you know, in your neighborhood and mine. Okay, so why is it important for you to see the game? The most important thing about seeing the game is if you can see the game, then you can make conscious choices about how to use your time and energy for your benefit and the benefit of the people you love and not let your enemies harvest it for their benefit. And I assure you, when you have a psyops like this, they're absolutely trying to try to harvest your time and your money and your energy. The second thing is you don't have to act. You can change things just by changing your consciousness. So I'm always quoting my old pastor from Washington, if we can face it, God can fix it. You don't need to do a thing, although prayer would be great. Simply shifting your consciousness will change everything about these games. If the fake news runs a psyop and nobody cares and nobody shows up and nobody pays any attention, boom. You know, that game is dead. It didn't go anywhere. So appreciate that you know, your power is a source of energy and you need to access it. And you need to use your consciousness to shift things just in the direction that you think about, that you pay attention to. The third thing is, if you want, you can change things with actions that are entirely safe. You don't have to take risky actions. If you look at the second quarter wrap-up, the PDF and the flipbook are now available. You can link to them from the Resource Center or the commentary on the homepage. There are lots of actions you can take that are entirely safe and non-controversial looking. So you can shift your money out of the big banks. You can eat more fresh food. You can back the entrainment and subliminal programming out of your life. These are all things that make you healthier. Leave your smartphone in the car. Even go back to a flip phone. There are lots of things you can do to get the fake science, fake news, fake everything out of your life. There are plenty of things you can do that are small risk. One of the things we have in the second quarter wrap-up is a wonderful letter that a subscriber wrote to one of their state legislators, and they gave us permission to publish it. What we're going to do, starting as soon as the hard copy is available, is offer two subscribers copies of the wrap-up at our cost, so you can send it to your state legislators and congressmen if you like to. And I think that's a very, very effective thing. We would mail it to them directly, but I know it's going to be much more effective coming from you and coming from individuals in lots of different states and in lots of different congressional districts. So I hope you, if you're willing to take a very small risk, I hope you will consider that. There are things you can take that involve much larger risks. Some people always ask me why I do what I do. And the reason I do it is I truly believe that it's a lot less risky than doing nothing. Because if you look at where I think these guys want to take things, I think at this point there's less risk in taking the actions that I take than in doing nothing. Because I think some chance is better than no chance. Finally, or next, I think you can pray for people who've been mind controlled. If you look at many of the people involved on both the right and the left involved in Charlottesville, I think there's plenty of entrainment, subliminal programming going on, and some very even direct mind control. I would really encourage you, try to make sure that the people in your family and close friends are protected. Print out the Adam Trombley interview on entrainment and circulate it, and brief your family about how to protect themselves from addictions created by entrainment. So consumer shopping, gambling, video game addiction, pornography, control, and then the control files created from pornography and some of these other things. So, you know, we are all being manipulated with this stuff, but it helps to know that it exists, and you really need to make sure that your family knows how to protect themselves from the impact of this, even only by knowing that it exists. There were some great recent videos that I posted up on the site from Melissa Dykes, and I would encourage you to also look at her work because I think she's really trying, and we have some great book reviews as well that we've written about pornography addictions and gambling addictions. So there's a lot of resources on the Solari website. And I just think it's very, very important as the entrainment gets really strong that you make sure the people around you know about this and are thinking about this before they get themselves in trouble with any of these different potential addictions. Finally, it's extremely important to me after listening to some of the emails and talking with some of the subscribers this week. I think that this is happening because things are beginning to come together in a very positive way and consciousness is shifting. So this is a reflection not that things are hopeless, but that things are shifting in our favor. That's a positive sign. John Rappaport always says hopelessness is the op, and it's a planet-wide op. If you feel it or adopt it, you're allowing your enemy to define your reality. You don't want to do that. So I would say that if anything, the PSYOPs in Charlottesville is a message to double down on progress, not to start to feel hopeless and get depressed. So I would check out the second quarter wrap up and look for actions that are energizing for you. But again, more than anything, what I want you to do is I want you to shift your consciousness about what's going on. I want that to result in insight that helps you get more power in whatever way you use that power, in whatever way you think is the most energizing for you and in the best interests of you and your family. So Charlottesville PSYOPs, it's a major development, and what it shows you is the system is running scared. Not a good sign, but it's something we have to go through. Money and markets. I'm going to work off the Wednesday close, but I realize there's been a dramatic drop of the S&P down 1.5 today. But just remember, I'm working with the Wednesday numbers. U.S. dollar index now trading at 93.44%, down almost 9% for the year. We've got a Fed meeting coming up on September 19th and 20th. It looks like the Fed governors are sort of 50-50 whether they're going to go with a bump or not. So we're going to be watching that closely between now and through Labor Day. Fixed income, long treasury, can you believe it? Bonds are doing decently this year. Long treasury ETF, TLT, up 7% for the year. The intermediate up 3.32%. The bond aggregate up 3%. And junk still holding at 4.86%. Equities, the markets took a real dip over war scares. Now the failure to get tax reform was the scare today. Lots of noise. Gary Cohen might resign from the National Economic Advisor because of Trump's behavior over Charlottesville. White House confirming this afternoon, no, Gary Cohen's not going to resign. S&P as of yesterday at the close is now up 11.5% for the year. As I said, it's down 1.5% today, so really up now 10%. Home builders doing better at 13.8%. Lockheed Flying at 24%. Cui Bono, who are these things good for? Good for Lockheed. I talked recently about the amazing chart from Fortune magazine about the Fortune 500 revenues rising way beyond the GNP starting in 1995-96 when globalization and the financial coup began. One way to look at the behavior we're watching is the Fortune 500 and the corporate establishment are deeply dependent on negative return on investment government money to keep their game going. And the question is, now that people want their pension funds and healthcare, how are you going to keep that negative return on investment going? So there's a real tug of war in the win-lose model between appropriate investment of government resources and keeping that Fortune 500 game going, and it's playing out in the stock market. Of course, tax reform being the next thing to keep corporate earnings up. VGK, the European ETF, up 20.36%. Again, this is Wednesday close. Germany up 18.8%, and developed markets minus North America up 17.5%. China, despite all the back and forth between the U.S. and China up 23.6% on the large caps, 22% on the small caps, and the emerging markets still the star, up 26% for the year. Commodities now down 9%. Gold bumped a little bit better by all the political Schermendrang, up 11.2% for the year. Silver back up, it's up at 6.9%. And oil, in the basement, down 23.22%. There's one thing I really want to focus on in money and markets. It's short and sweet, but important. I once had one of the pastors in Hickory Valley on the Sunday after 9/11 start his sermon with the expression, "Ladies and gentlemen, rush hour cometh." And certainly in Washington, rush hour cometh this fall. I'm a regular reader of the Kiplinger newsletter. It's very good intelligence on Congress and the Washington calendar. I don't always agree with it, but it's always very valuable and insightful. The latest write-up is a great example of their kind of analysis, and it talks about the fall crunch. If you're interested and want to subscribe, I do recommend it to you. But essentially, what we have coming up is the House has only 12 working days between when it returns from recess and the end of September, and the Senate has 16 days. So imagine 12 working days for House, 16 working days for the Senate. And here's what they have to accomplish by October 1st. They have to bump the debt ceiling. The Treasury's now saying they're going to run out of money by the end of September, so they've got to bump the debt ceiling. I don't see any problem with them doing it, but you know, it's work to be done. They have a budget resolution to frame the budget for 2018 and the appropriation bills. The new budget starts on October 1st. So the debt ceiling budget resolution and appropriation bills all need to be done basically in 12 days for the House and 16 days for the Senate. That's not a lot given how much work they have to do and how still tired they are from trying to do health care. In the meantime, the GOP, the Republicans want to get tax reform done by the year end, and I'm sure there's still going to be more people pushing to try and do something on health care. And so what you've got is you've got the pig moving through the snake. It often happens every fall in Washington. But given the drumbeat of scandals, investigations, congressmen getting shot and receiving death threats, this is and of course the effort to destroy the president, this makes it all very difficult to just get the basic work done. The time on the calendar has gotten eaten alive over this last year by political warfare. And it's very clear that the political establishment has absolutely no interest in making America great again. The reality is where the rubber meets the road is in the enforcement of the Constitution and in the budget, which means in the missing money. Because the reality is all the money you need to do everything has essentially been stolen, and nobody wants to address that, look at that, talk about that. It's not like the black budget's going to stop wanting more money. And so this is why the missing money is so very much at the heart of what's going on, and why I believe we're seeing accelerating false flags and accelerating psyops, because it takes real theater, fear, and entertainment to keep people from digging in and asking questions about the legitimate management of government resources and why we can't run government resources on a positive return to taxpayers. And that's why our hero tonight is Dr. Mark Skidmore, the professor at Michigan State University, who's been helping produce the documentation. And we now have, if you look at our commentary on DOD and HUD, undocumentable adjustments, the supporting documentation, we now have very complete supporting documentation. It's both up on Soleri servers as well as up, we have links to all the DOD and HUD servers, and his team continues to look for more and will continue to provide that. And I think having that documentation is invaluable because it means lots of researchers can dig in and start to grapple with, what is this phenomena and how do we start to get legitimate, if we're going to try and balance the budget in America, how do we get legitimate numbers and a legitimate budget? We certainly don't have it now. And Let's Go to the Movies, I asked you to watch something that I've had in Let's Go to the Movies before, and that's Charles Ferguson's incredible documentary on the first 2 years of the occupation in Iraq called No End in Sight. And what you realize, what you see, is it's a wonderful insight into the neocon group, because what you're watching is the intentional engineering of the country's descent into lawlessness and guerrilla warfare. There is a concerted, engineered attempt to destroy civilization. And whenever I try and communicate to people what the neocon group is like, it's really helpful to have them watch this documentary, because you start to realize, oh, this group really is as completely, whatever word you want to use, whether it's psychopathic, whether it's nuts, whether it's they have a goal of intentionally destroying civilization. But you really see their definition of what regime change means. And I think it's important to understand it, because if they can do it in Iraq, ultimately they can do it here. And this is why it's so important to uplift our culture in every way we can, even if it's only thousands of little things during the day. Anyway, so I recommend it to you, No End in Sight by Charles Ferguson. Very, very instructive and interesting documentary. Our interview is with the great Cynthia McKinney. I was so concerned about the sanctions that I wanted to have her back right away to talk about them. I used for the quote for the interview a quote from Jack Ma: trade war would be a disaster for the world. It's very easy to slip into a trade war. One of the reasons we're slipping into a trade war is the U.S. is going to great lengths to continue to assert the unipolar model. That's part of what this sanctions were. And Paul Craig Roberts has a very interesting article, which I recommend to you. It's up in Top Picks. He says the U.S. is going all out to create a missile ring around China and Russia so that they're able to deliver a nuclear first strike and to do so without retaliation. And he's written several interesting articles on that issue. And it's important to understand the extent to which the U.S. asserting the unipolar model is going to shut down global trade and cause these kinds of extreme tensions. And another thing to read on this point is the interview that Bannon gave this week. Again, that's up in Top Picks, basically saying in 20 years, China can be the hegemon or the U.S. can be the hegemon, but it can't be both. And what we do now is going to decide that, and that's the single most important thing. And of course, I think very, very important is how we're going to transition to a multipolar world and manage a balance of power without coming to real blows. So I would encourage you to listen to McKinney. And one of the things McKinney does a great job of communicating is how, at this point, how absolutely controlled from behind the scenes Congress is. Anyway, it's a very interesting interview, and it dovetails very nicely with the interview we did on the Constitution. And one of the things that I would hate to see is a trade war break out, but I'm afraid now it's started, and the question is, how bad will it get? Ask Catherine. I got several people asking me about an interview that Lynette Zhang did on a new cryptocurrency called ACC Chain. There were two problems with it. I posted it briefly before I got a chance to watch it completely, and then I pulled it down. One problem is that although I agree that cryptocurrencies are potentially very dangerous, and Zhang says they are, but for different reasons than I would say they are. But so we agree that cryptocurrencies are potentially very dangerous. If you look at the specifics of what she said, I couldn't find any evidence to support it. ACC Chain is, from what I can tell, has no relationship to any official players in China, number one. And number two, China's role in the SDR is very different than she describes. And three, the dollar weakness is the global reserve currency the dollar is much stronger than she describes. And so I just think if you look at the dot connecting in the short term of what she's describing, it doesn't fit with my understanding of the facts. So I think it's not that useful. Although, you know, I do believe cryptocurrencies are potentially very dangerous. The second problem is that her firm markets numismatics, and I've had some real problems. Once upon a time, I was writing articles for a website called From the Wilderness by Mike Rupert, and Rupert started to market a gold firm that sold numismatics, and I had one reader come to me and say, you know, I've lost a couple hundred thousand dollars because of the way this firm handled my orders, and I've gotten raped by commissions, and I assumed they were trustworthy because Rupert had them on his website, and you were doing articles with Rupert. So my association was deemed to be the equivalent of a recommendation of a firm I'd never even thought about, looked at, and it ended up with a screaming match between me and Rupert's team, basically demanding they take the name of the firm down. Ever since then, I've made it a policy to try and not post or in any way associate with or recommend any firm or person associated with a firm that's marketing numismatics. So that's me being a little bit conservative, but it's another reason why I think there's too many inaccuracies or things that have no evidence behind them in the video, and then the numismatics gives me pause. And then someone else writes, just saw an interview with Lynette Zhang on Greg Hunter's YouTube channel today. She has a very interesting perspective on the global situations, and he seems to have her finger on the pulse of what I call the red pill. Real true. She reports there are lots of people taking major positions in gold. Would love to hear your perspective. I have no change on gold from when when I did the Rambus chartology for the equity overview, I think the charts for equities and gold both indicate they're in bull markets. I don't think gold is a major opportunity right now, but obviously the environment is very fluid, so it could go in many different directions. But I continue to say to everybody, gold is it's very important to have your core position. I just don't see it right now as an attractive investment. I do think, though, that gold is in a long-term bull market. And so, you know, I'm a great believer in gold. Next question is, as always, I'm looking to play the hockey puck where it's going to be and looking for positive personal business solutions to help protect my family. I listen to every Slayer report at least 4 times and seem to hear something new each time. And one of their questions was on cryptocurrency. I think the cryptocurrency bubble probably has much more to go. You know, you're looking at various promoters saying it's going to go, Bitcoin's going to go to 100,000. Here's the reality. This is very political. It's highly speculative. You could lose everything in a variety of different ways. You know, could it go much higher? Absolutely. It's that kind of bubble, and Mr. Global is very committed to getting these currencies prototyped and soaking up as much, you know, of the excess cash. We've been printing an awful lot, and so anything that could sort of soak it up is good. You know, one way to do this, if you want to be a little bit more cautious, is to wait and see if the SEC does approve any ETFs and the brokerage firms pick it up, because then it's really going to go ballistic. So it's, you know, and certainly from a custodian standpoint, I think it's probably a safer way to trade it. But again, this is a speculative bubble. It's very political, so your guess is as good as mine. But it's like anything that's speculative. Just be prepared to lose 100% if you go into it. Catherine, can you suggest 2 or 3 books to help me understand the 40 trillion that has been stolen, the financial coup d'etat, and the financial harvesting of nations? Yes, what I would do is I would read the wrap-ups, since I would read the 2014, 2015, 2016 wrap-ups, and I would read the Dylan Reed and the Aristocracy of Stock Profits, and I would definitely listen to the Sir James Goldsmith. I'll think some more about some of the other things you could read, but I would definitely go back and read the wrap-ups. There's a lot of good information about them. Most of the time I have for reading is the 10 hours I spend in the car commuting each week. Can you create an app that allows downloading the Solari MP3 programs to a smartphone to allow mobile listening? I mentioned this to your tech guy at the 21 Club in New York, but I don't see what happened. Coast to Coast does a good job on this. Interestingly enough, when I drive, I listen on my iPhone, but I use the browser. So I just use the browser, go to the website, and click open the MP3. We'll definitely take a look at doing an app after we launch the new website. So, it's definitely on the list, and I really appreciate your bringing that up again. Hi, Catherine. I don't even know where to begin to express my adoration and or, not type pages of questions and queries. I first learned of you in the YouTube video and the space conference presentation you did in San Mateo in 2014. I was stunned, and you brightened my hope that change is possible. Hannity and so many others are frustrated that Trump can't make more of a difference and pierce the deep state. You're very courageous to speak out and keep us informed on so many subjects with risks to your own personal safety. But if your conversation about the missing trillions and or 9/11 controversy became uncovered, the exposure would start to unravel the entire stupidity that our world is so enshrouded in. How do we get you on Hannity or your message on the mainstream media, Rush Limbaugh? Every time I'm invited onto anything that you might consider mainstream, it comes up to the last minute and then it gets canceled. So Glenn Beck got canceled. The Michael Moore interview got canceled. It all gets canceled. The long arm of Mr. Global comes in and cancels it. Here's the reality. Change is going to come when we stop listening to media that doesn't tell us the truth. So I don't need to go on Hannity. I don't need to go on Rush Limbaugh. What you need to know is, you know, Hannity will only go so far and Rush Limbaugh will only go so far, and you need to start paying attention to media that will tell you the truth. Now, here's here's the horrible thing that needs to be faced here. If I wrote in an email how every man could have as many erections as he wanted, and how every female could have as many orgasms as they wanted, and I put it in an email and I wrote it to my three friends and said, under no circumstances, share this email with anyone, how long would it take until everybody in America had a copy? Maybe 30 days? Okay, so when people are ready to deal with the truth, and again, we don't need 100%, we just need the 5 to 10%. When the 5 to 10% are willing to consider the truth and they want it, it will go, and it will go virally. I mean, Jesus did not need Hannity. Jesus did not need Rush Limbaugh. Jesus did not need PowerPoints. These things can just go. So I think the question for us is, why do we think we need the media that's not telling us the truth? How do we do it without it? That's the question. Next question. The Fed and the Exchange Stabilization Fund need to be exposed or put out of business. But then what do you see replacing these mechanisms to restore a new paradigm in government and finance, not just in America, but globally? There are just an infinite number of ways to do it. I could write books about this, but there are many, many ways to build a healthy financial system. And of course, the key is to switch from a debt to an equity model. And the other is to switch to currencies that have integrity. And another is to operate with transparency and allow optimization to happen. That's it in a very conceptual nutshell. It all starts, however, with sound spiritual values, because without sound spiritual or cultural values and without the law, there can be no financial system that has integrity. So you have to build up from there. Is there any chance that we will have a currency reset of some kind with the Iraqi dinar and other global currencies, or with the cryptocurrencies such as Bitcoin, et cetera? A couple of things. We don't have our problem is not that our financial system is corrupt. Our problem is that we have a governance system that is controlled and operated by people who we don't know who they are, and we don't know why they're doing what they're doing. The financial system is just a subset of the governance system. It's the governance system that needs to be first and foremost dealt with. We need to understand who's doing it, why they're doing it, and then we need to decide whether we want to keep the current governance system or change it. I would vote to change it. But reengineering the financial system is just a subset, and you really have to, the design of the financial system has to reflect the design of the governance system. You know, it's sort of like trying to design the body without, you know, knowing what the head looks like. So you continue. The 100-year Fed and deep state will not want this to happen, but Eckhart Tolle suggests that we will see more unexpected changes coming, just as no one saw the Berlin Wall coming down so suddenly. Well, I certainly agree with Tolle. Unexpected changes are happening, and they're going to continue to happen. In my opinion, the Iraqi dinar is a financial scam, and cryptocurrencies are really Mr. Global's prototyping of digital currencies. I don't think it will ultimately create an alternative system. I think it will, if anything, help to tighten central control. But as I said, I think Mr. Global will use it to soak up lots of excess cash. The next person says, some say this speech got JFK killed. I would say that if you read Mary's Mosaic and The Devil's Chessboard, the two best books I know on the Kennedy assassination, they really show Kennedy was trying to shift from a unipolar to a multipolar model, and the deep state was committed to a unipolar model. To a certain extent, it reflects sort of the same thing that we see happening now. So I don't think it was one speech that got Kennedy killed. I think it was he was hiccuping a whole model. This site is predicting U.S. population will decline dramatically before 2025. I've sent the site to reporters, but no one has vetted the reason the site would predict such an outrageous claim. I've looked at the predictions. They don't make any sense to me, and I don't know what their thinking is. You're not going to get that kind of change in population without a major nuclear war or major plague. I just think it's unlikely. Even if you look at the implosion that happened in Russia and the depopulation that happened in Russia in the 90s, It's a much tinier percentage than that. So the website is Deagle.com. Forecast doesn't make any sense to me. I think it's highly unlikely. Next question. Does Huber Car Service vacuum the stored information on a smartphone when a person patronizes their service? I have no idea, but here's the reality. I would put nothing past Uber. Nothing. With the CEO that they had and Dave Bonderman on the board, who knows? On a list of problems facing the U.S., where do you place white nationalism? This is one of our subscribers after the Charlottesville op. White nationalism isn't a problem facing the U.S. We don't have a white nationalism problem. We've got a problem of a lot of white men who are responsible for protecting their families, supporting their families, and keeping the productivity of the economy, who are absolutely fed up with an unacceptable situation. That's not a problem. That's a very positive development. Now, it's a problem for Mr. Global, which is why they're trying to turn, you know, productive white men into white nationalists. And if they can do that, they'll try and turn them into white supremacists, and then they'll use Nazi and KKK, you know, but all of that is just psyops. You know, are there a few people running around who spout Nazi or, you know, belong to KKK? You know, I don't know how many there are that have not been orchestrated or paid for by COINTELPRO operations, but I'm a skeptic. Anyway, so these folks are a problem for Mr. Global because they're going to want the missing money back. They're going to want to enforce the Constitution. They're going to insist on property rights, and they're not going to be pleased about their pension funds being stolen. So they're a problem for Mr. Global, but they're not a problem. They are the solution, if anything, or certainly a very important part of the solution. Hello, Catherine. I forgot to say, if it's not too late, could you please ask Cynthia what she thinks about this letter from Senator Nelson? This is from a wonderful subscriber who wrote a letter to her senator, and I just wanted to let you know. They said, also, does Cynthia have an itinerary for the Unrigged bus tour? I want them to come to Central Florida. It's very simple. If you want Cynthia to come to Florida, you know, see if you can't arrange for speaking fees, or go to her website and donate and say, I'm donating money. I would love you to come to Central Florida. It's really reminds me of who was it? The race car guy, Roger Penske, saying speed costs money. How fast do you want to go? I think the NRIG people would love to come to wherever you are. It's a matter of financing how they get there. Anyway, the other thing is, again, we're going to make sure that copies are available at cost for the second quarter wrap-up. If you want to send them to your state legislators, if you want to send them to your senators or congressmen, we're going to encourage you to do it and make sure it's available at low cost so that you can do that. Greetings. Does Basel III allow mortgage lien holders to change terms of an original note? If one has an outstanding debt on a mortgage, adjustable rate with 2% annual cap, 5% lifetime cap, is there a risk of the note terms being redrafted under Basel III or any other means? I can't imagine. What happens to ARMs when the LIBOR index goes away? Good question. I don't know. I'll check that one out. But I've not looked at Basel III. It's inconceivable to me that you can wipe out the Constitution and contract law just through Basel III. So I don't see how anybody can change your or abrogate a contract with you on your mortgage. I don't see it. But if I'm wrong about that, if you have any evidence to suggest otherwise, please send it. Dear Catherine, here is the first ever whistleblower from inside the industry, and then a link to some information about HUD and finance, and I will take a look. Thank you for sending that. Hi, Catherine. I thought I'd given up trying to figure out the best form of physical gold and silver to purchase, but I'm curious your thoughts on this. I'm sure you've been asked this question frequently. Greg Hunter prefers U.S. coins. Bill Holder's not so sure about that. Tom Cloud says to sell your collectibles and buy bullion. Ms. Zhang implies just the opposite. I understand all the reasoning. Cheapest, premium, most recognizable, but I'm wondering what form you think the border guards prefer. And do you like silver as something to purchase with your extra cash as much as most seem to? I would avoid collectibles and numismatics, whatever you do. I'm a great believer that you should buy 1 ounce sovereign gold coins. That whichever 1 ounce sovereign gold coin has the lowest premium to melt. Franklin Sanders likes some of the peso, the Mexican or the Austrian that are not 1 ounce, but I think it's much easier to trade and much more liquid in 1 ounce. So I would use the 1 ounce gold coin, sovereign gold coin, that has the lowest premium to melt, whether that's Eagles or Baples or Cougar Ants. I love Cougar Ants, but that's just my personal preference. For silver, I prefer 90% if you're American, or silver rounds. The 90% is legal tender in the U.S., but again, I'd be looking for the lowest premium to melt value. You can check out the equivalents on silverandgoldormoney.com. It's a joint website between the Money Changer and Solari. And if you go to the equivalents page, you'll see a great layout of sort of the collectible coins. To me, gold has a lot less storage demands than silver, so I prefer gold to silver. As a sort of core position, but silver is great for small denominations. So I like a balance of some 90% and some silver rounds for smaller transactions, and then gold is simply the most efficient storage. And of course, in the worst case, gold is the it's one of the most valuable currencies. If the Russian experience says anything, it says liquor and tobacco. Vodka and cigarettes are probably better, although vodka in Russia, probably whiskey in America. But I would absolutely avoid numismatics. I think the commissions on numismatics are beyond too great. And there's no value in exchange for them. And I've, over the last 10 years, they haven't traded anywhere near as well as bullion. So I would absolutely stick with bullion coins. And again, you want the lowest premium to melt value. You want to pay for the metal and not for the coin. Okay, that's it. August 24th, next week, Winning the Fight for Health Freedom with Scott Tipps. It's a wonderful attorney who's the president of Health Freedom and is fighting the Codex Wars for you. August 31st, Thomas Meyer from Basel, what Steiner tells us about what we should do now, and a very juicy conversation on September 7th, the emerging multipolar world with the Saker. You know we have a lot to talk about. So ladies and gentlemen, please remember, don't worry about whether or not there is a conspiracy. If you're not in a conspiracy, you need to start one. Good night and good luck.